188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It's Tommy Freedom coming at you for another half an hour. I'm going to start off today by talking a little bit more about this whole situation where our city's just spiraling out of control. Defund the police is now running rampant in a lot of these big cities. Unfortunately, where I live, that has not happened yet, although they have voted to defund the use of what they're calling chemical weapons. That would be pepper spray and tear gas. Those are not chemical weapons. If these people would like us to unleash real chemical weapons on them, I would be more than happy to try and find a source for that. But in Toronto, there is a restaurant. Let me see if I can pull this picture up here, and I'll just waste some valuable time while I do this. Okay, there is a restaurant named Food Benders somewhere in Toronto. It's along a crowded street. It's one of those old neighborhoods where you have the restaurant or the business on the first floor, and then the second and third floor are apartments above it. I see several window air conditioners. Apparently, they can't afford central heating and air in these places. But this is called Food Benders. It has an iHeart Gaza. Big decal on the front window. It is right next to Home of Quran Speaks, and on the other side, the Mareb restaurant. So apparently, this is in the Muslim side of town, which unfortunately I did not know that Toronto has. It's been a long time since I've been to Toronto, and there was no such thing when I was up there. Unfortunately, they are just inundating every place across the globe now, and ruining every place they go. So they put out a sandwich board, they thought they were being cute, that said, no justice, no peace, F the police. Well, they had it fully spelled out. It was not just the F, it was the three letters following that. And they received a ton of backlash on social media for this. And they claimed that they were being threatened, and she got scared, and who did she call? No, she didn't call Ghostbusters. She didn't call Al-Qaeda. She did not even call Antifa for protection. She called the police. Yes, the very people that she wants defunded, she called them to ask for help. And then when a Toronto police officer posted on social media about this, then she decided that there was a huge conspiracy by the entire Toronto Police Department against her. Or should I say, this is Canada, against her. I've got some Canadian listeners up there. I've been fine, and they were against her. So she called the cops because she was scared. Now, let's imagine that all of the police departments, not only across the country, but now across all of Canada as well, and Europe, let's just say they are all defunded, and we have no police departments. Folks, do you remember something called the Wild West that we had here in the United States when a lot of those states were still territories and you might have a territorial marshal to cover an entire area? Well, that's what we would be looking at. We would have lawlessness, we would have anarchy, which they think they want. They think they want lawlessness and anarchy until it happens to them. And this is a very good example of what happens when you try and abolish the police and then need someone to defend you. See, here in the States, we have guns. We can pretty much defend ourselves. It wouldn't last too terribly long before we took the law into our own hands and ended all of that lawlessness once and for all. But isn't that the pot calling the kettle black, folks? Quite literally, these Muslims are coming into these areas and they are doing everything that they can to instill Sharia law, instill their ways upon us, and it's not going to happen. As more and more people see what's going on, it's going to backfire on them tremendously. And I cannot wait until the day when people finally start taking this nation back, start taking this hemisphere back, start taking this entire planet back. Now, I came across a montage on YouTube the other day that showed a bunch of Antifa just getting their asses kicked, getting knocked out left and right, coming up to people, getting in their way, hitting them with batons, hitting them with something else or whatever, walking out in front of them. I think my favorite one was, though, there were two of them all dressed in black, these Pantifa faggots, and one of them harassed one guy and says, "What are you going to do about it?" And he turns around and walks right out in the middle of the street and gets clocked. Boom! By a red pickup truck doing about 15, 20 miles an hour. it was pretty good. And then there's another one. This guy, the little faggot, he's got some scraggly beard on his face, and he goes, "You can't hit me. I'm not a dude." Smack. He got his ass knocked out too. It's good to see if you can find this thing. I discovered it accidentally, and I don't even know what you would put into search for it, but it was a montage of these people just getting their butts handed to them and getting knocked out left and right. It was absolutely hilarious. It's about 6 minutes long. It's pretty entertaining. It reminded me of the time that Glenn Danzig challenged, I forget who it was, to a fight. And he came in and he kind of sucker punched the guy. And the guy came back and one shot hit him right in the side of the face and knocked him out, dropped him like a stone. That's what it reminded me of. That's a good one to pull up on YouTube too if you're ever bored. It's funny as hell. But getting into the meat and bones of the show here, I told you a couple weeks ago that I would be talking to you about the Tower of Babel. What language did we speak before the Tower of Babel when all of these different languages came up? Well, there are certain languages in the world that sound unlike anything else. Now, Japanese and Chinese, there's nothing really a root language that they can tie back to. The same with some of these languages they speak in Africa, one that's nothing but clicks and whistles. There's obviously nothing you could base that on. But obviously, all of the European languages are based on Latin. What it went to before that, I don't know, but you can pretty much listen to the languages now and pick up on words that have Latin bases in them. If you know Latin-based words, you can pretty much pick up anything that's written in German or French or Spanish or Italian or Portuguese, and you can pretty much skim through it, pick up the root words and understand what's going on. But a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we all spoke a common language. What was that language? We don't know. But we do know what it sounds like. I bet you never stopped to think about this before, but if you've ever traveled to another country and stopped into a restaurant, you will notice that the background noise sounds identical to the way it sounds in whatever country you're from. There is no accent. All you can hear is the sound of human voices. You can't understand a language, just like you really can't hear. All you can understand is that sound. It is the same. So when you put human voices together, there is a commonality there. And what I have found that commonality is what I'm speaking to you right now, is standard American English. Regardless of what language is being spoken, that dialect is the original sound of the first language. And let me explain this to you. Because obviously, if you hear someone from Japan speaking, they are, even if they were to speak English using that dialect, it would not sound anything like what I'm saying right now. But in music, your tonal inflections when you sing unless you're deliberately trying to sing with a dialect like Till Lindemann there from Rammstein, "Du hast mich gefragt und ich hab nicht gesagt," then obviously he's doing that on purpose. But if you get other people who are singing just traditional German songs, you will hear that they sound very much the way I'm speaking now. If someone sings in Japanese or Swedish, they all sound the same. Even if they're singing in their own language, it doesn't sound like they're singing with an accent. Well, let's go back to Sweden, for example. Let's start. What's a famous group from Sweden? George? In the event that you're new to this show, producer George's favorite group is ABBA. There are a few groups that we never ever play on here, and ABBA is one of them, unless it is conducive to something that's going on with the show, in which case George does have special permission to play it, and he milked that one for all it was worth. So there's a good example. ABBA was from Sweden. Anna Frid Langstad, I believe, was from Norway. But despite that, when they sang, they did not sound like they had any kind of an accent or a dialect whatsoever. They essentially sounded the way that I am speaking to you right now. So we know that that is what, excuse me, I just got a couple of new cats and I'm not used to their dander yet, so I apologize if I sound like I have a cold. It's allergies to these cats till I get adjusted to them. But the background of these voices sounds the same. Now let me give you another example. Now this one may throw you a bit because that has a real European sound to it, and actually they are European to a certain extent, I suppose, but believe it or not, they were Russian. And again, no tonal inflections. That sounds like they were born in America. They are singing in English. It's kind of hard to tell because of the way that they're singing the opera there. But that, by the way, that's Imperial Age, and that song is called Legacy of Atlantis, and you, in fact, you know, if you want to look this up, if you're interested, it's it's a really cool video. It's a good song too. But again, so that's Russians singing properly. And let me just add real quick, it is people who are professionally trained to sing, and there are some people who are naturally gifted who have that ability without being taught how to sing. But professional singers are the ones who sing this way, just like professional speakers speak this way. So it's very interesting why that comes about. This is obviously something that goes far, far back in time in our development. And it goes back to where we developed into Homo sapiens sapiens, where we have this language. That there is something, we all have this commonality in the way that we speak. I would be very interested if the government ever releases the information that we are in fact in touch with extraterrestrial species from elsewhere in the galaxy or perhaps the universe, I wonder what they would sound like. Would they have a different accent? But if they had music, would they sound like us as well? Does it really go that far? Of course, I think outside the box anyway. I'm always fascinated by these what ifs and could be's. And that's exactly how I discovered this very topic for today. So here's another example.
As I'm walking through the shadows of the night, a black raven screams, he's ready for the fight. And I feel the change. I feel the change from white to black. The wolf in me is
Once again, no accent. That's Metalite. They're German. You'd never know it if I didn't tell you. So I know you're thinking to yourself, okay, Tommy, these are all metal songs. Well, see, that's what I listen to, so that's what I'm exposed to, and they're ones that I'm familiar with, which is why I'm using them. You what? George says he's got one that's not metal, and for some reason I think I'm going to regret this, but okay.
There was something in the air.
I should have seen that coming. I should have seen it coming. Well, there you have one Swedish and one Norwegian. Again, no noticeable accent or dialect when they sing. Now, as long as I'm in Scandinavia, let's go to Finland. That was Tarja Turunen out in front of Nightwish. They're a Finnish band. Again, no noticeable accent. Let me just skip over to Italy real quick and give you just one more from Europe, and then I want to surprise you here. There you have both male and female vocalists. Again, no discernible accent. Those are Italian. That's Frozen Crown, by the way. And if you're interested in any of these, just shoot me an email and I'll let you know what all these songs are, who they're by. I know a lot of you out there are metal fans like I am. A lot of you probably aren't. But in the event that you are and it's unfamiliar to you and you want to know who it is so you can order it, just drop me a line and I will certainly let you know. And before I leave Europe, I'm going to play something here. Now, this one is not metal either. I just found this accidentally while I was bringing up the video for Frozen Crown there. This is Spanish. It's I don't know if they're from Spain or if they're from South America. They're obviously singing in Spanish. You can tell by that, but they're is no Spanish accent to it.
Alba d'inverno, odore di neve mi accoglie il tuo abbraccio silente. Tra intrecci di brina sviene memoria del tuo nome d'antiche leggende. Nella neve danzi con le ultime foglie d'autunno.
Now, watching that video, they're all white, so obviously they are Spaniards. It was shot in Spain. Those mountains must have been the Alps or somewhere in that portion of Europe. And they're all outside playing in the snow with no heavy coats and stuff on. So obviously, again, they've got to be white. I don't think the Mexicans could take the cold like that. But again, if you listen to that, no accent. And even the R's, there was just a little bit of a rolling in the R, but not much. It was almost imperceptible. Again, when you sing, this comes out. It is the true human voice. So now you're saying, okay, Tommy, these are all Europeans. It doesn't matter. You know, they're from the US, they're from Canada, they're from all over the place. We've been listening to people who speak with a European-based language. Well, this is true, but those also have very strong accents and or dialects, and those are different, by the way. If I have time, I'll get into that later on to explain the difference between an accent and a dialect. They're entirely different, often mistaken for each other, but completely different. So now I'm going to throw you a curve. This is completely off of the European continent altogether. That was Aldeus, and if you remember, I played something from them a couple of weeks ago. They're an all-girl power metal band out of Japan. And if you listen to her voice, it may not be evident there, but I have their Their album is called Evoke. It's their best of since 2010 to 2020. And you can tell that she is clearly trained in classical opera, the way that she sings. An incredible voice. And it was in listening to her when it suddenly dawned on me, there's no accent. There's no accent there whatsoever. So that's when I went back and started thinking about all these other groups over the years that we take for granted. They're singing in English, some of them aren't, but it sounds just like the way that we would sing. And that's when I started coming up with this idea of the human voice coming from a single source, that there is one true dialect. I'm going to play another one here for you. This also is out of Asia. This is the Who band. The Who, H-U, not W-H-O. And these guys are Chinese. And you listen to him, he trills his R just a smidgen, and it almost sounds German. It does not sound Chinese. Listen to this. I am willing to bet that never in a million years would you have guessed that that was Chinese. Like I said, it almost had a German sound to it. I would have never guessed that was Chinese. See, we're so used to hearing them speak that when you hear them sing, it sounds so totally different. Now, my Chinese is not good at all. I only know three words in Chinese, and that's Xui Xia Pa. Now, that's definitely a Chinese dialect, whereas Japanese, for example, would be Ohayo, very, very different. Now, one's more guttural and more staccato, and the other is more pitched in the higher range and just sounds completely different. And in those two songs, Japanese and Chinese, you could not hear either of those tonal inflections. Again, it sounded just like you and I would expect someone to sound like in this country when they sing. Now, if The Who threw you for a loop, you're definitely not going to get this next one. This is going to be the last one I'm going to play for you. This is some kind of rappy metal rap, I don't know. But you will never in a million years guess where this band is from. The rest of it just continues in Urdu. And if that didn't give it away for you, the band is called Bloodywood. The title of that track is Machi Basad. It means expect a riot. And their upcoming tour is called Raj Against the Machine. Did that give it away, folks? Yep, Indian. I would have never, ever, ever in a million years guessed that that was a bunch of Indians, dotted, not feathered, that were singing that. So this is what I've been saying. Somehow or another, when we sing, the one true voice of humanity comes through. Now, perhaps there are people who would say, I'm speaking with an accent. But when you listen to all of the accents and the dialects in the world, when they all sing, they all sound like I'm speaking to you right now, which means that that is the true voice of humanity, and all other languages and the way they're spoken are the accents. So let's go back to where I began the show, about the Tower of Babel. We don't know what the original language was. There's no way we're ever going to find what the language was. Even if we were somehow able to find a tablet with it carved onto it, the original language that all human beings spoke at one time, we wouldn't know how it sounded. We wouldn't know what the words were. But we would know one thing. We would know how it sounded. We wouldn't know how it was spoken. We wouldn't know the words. For example, let's go back to Tutankhamun's time. His name, Tutankhamun. Those hieroglyphs, the Ankh is the one that looks kind of like a cross with a loop on top. That's the only hieroglyph I know how to pronounce. Somehow or another, they were able to determine how to speak the language, but they don't know how it actually sounded. We know how the words are pronounced, but we don't know how they sound. And if at some point in time we were to find a tablet that had the original human language on it, we might not know how to speak it, but we would know how it sounded, and it would sound exactly the way I'm speaking to you right now, regardless of what language it was. You would not hear a h, a hoop, or anything else to it, but just pure human voice. As the years go by, we are uncovering more and more legendary places that were mentioned in the Bible. We are learning what happened with the parting of the Red Sea. That it was not, in fact, the Red Sea. It was the Nile Delta, where winds will sometimes open up a certain channel where the land does appear to part. We know that as these things come about, we've discovered Sodom and Gomorrah. So many other ancient cities that are spoken about, not only in the Bible, but in the Mahabharata and other epics. In time, we may find that original language. I doubt it, but it may happen. 100 years ago, nobody would have ever believed that we would have found so many places that were mentioned in the Bible or solved so many of the mysteries that has brought about. Ezekiel's vision, for example, very clearly a spaceship. A wheel within a wheel and eyes around the perimeter. That's very clearly a description of what we would now call a UFO. So in time, a lot of these mysteries will be solved. And again, if we ever do find that original language, at least now, we'll know how to speak it. You never know what you're going to hear when you tune into the show. That's just the thing about it. It's a variety show. It could be about anything in particular. And the last thing that you ever expected to hear when you tuned in today was me describing what the original language sounded like before the Tower of Babel. So that's why you guys keep coming back, because you never know what you're going to hear next. But on that note, I'm going to end this show, my friends. As always, it's been good being here with you for another 30 minutes. And always, stay awake, stay informed, stay out of trouble, but by all means, please, stay tuned, because I will be back next week. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now. Something else that always shines through above everything else is stupidity. So once again, I want to remind you just how stupid Hank Johnson is. So hang on till the end and you can hear once again just how stupid this moron really is.
Fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.